We worship a God who sees us, who knows our needs, and who loves us with an infinite love. And as we prepare now to study God's Word, I invite us to first take a moment to pray. And I'll start with a moment of silence, and I encourage you to use this time to share your own needs and concerns with God, but also use this time to lift up the needs that you see that other people have. This is kind of an intercessory type of prayer. And there are certainly many needs that we see around us. I encourage you to pray for the people on our church prayer list, including Sandra Manning and Benny Goetz, and their needs all around the world, too, that we should be lifting up today. So let's go to the Lord now for a moment of silent prayer, and then I'll lead us in a corporate prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful that you are always present to us. We're grateful that you hear our prayers and you know our needs. And we do lift up the concerns that weigh heavily on our hearts to you today. We especially pray for the people of Israel and Palestine. We pray for those who've been kidnapped and the families who've lost loved ones. We pray for your protection of the innocent. We pray that your Spirit will bring comfort and peace. We pray that you will give guidance and direction to each of us. We all face challenges in our lives, and we need discernment on how to face those challenges. And Lord, we pray that your love would fill us and shape us and guide us in all that we do. And Lord, we also pray now for your guidance as we study your word. May our hearts and our minds be open to the message that you seek to share with us today. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. In this month's sermon series, we are talking about the importance of taking care of others, of seeking the welfare of other people. And today, I'd like us to focus on the poor and the marginalized. In most every place in the world, there are people who are suffering from poverty, and we shouldn't ignore them. In fact, it should be a central part of our ministry, as it was for Jesus. Now, everywhere Jesus went, he found people who were in need, and he helped them. Now, he didn't turn the needy away, but he had compassion for them. And he always did something about it. We see a glimpse of this in today's scripture passage from the Gospel of Mark. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open there to chapter 6, and I'll read verses 30 through 34, and then 53 through 56, and the words will also appear on the screen. But let's listen now to these words of Scripture. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Amen. Dr. Paul Farmer has spent much of his professional life as a physician caring for the poor and the marginalized. He even founded an organization called Partners in Health to offer medical services in some of the world's poorest and most neglected places. Over the years, he's spoken frequently about his work. He's even written numerous books, including one that he co-authored with the theologian Gustavo Gutierrez called In the Company of the Poor. Now, in this book, they discuss their shared commitment to what they call a theology of accompaniment. It's the idea of not only walking with the poor, but working to change the conditions that keep them in poverty. And this kind of commitment grows from a deep faith in God, a faith that's grounded in the good news that God has promised to walk with us and act on our behalf. And we know that's true because of what we see in Jesus. Now, Jesus wanted the world to know that God is working on behalf of everyone, including the poor, the imprisoned, the disabled, the burdened, and the battered. These are the kinds of people who are most neglected and marginalized. And just imagine what it would be like if the church could always remember that these are the ones to whom we are called to share the good news. See, I think the church's ministry should always have a focus on the poor and marginalized. But why, you might ask? Well, at a later point in Jesus' ministry, he said to his followers, "The poor you will always have with you." Now, that was more than just a statement about reality. I personally think one of the reasons Jesus said those words is because he didn't want his followers to ignore or neglect the poor. He wanted their ministry to focus on those who are suffering in poverty. But I don't think Jesus intended for that to be a one-sided ministry where those who have are always doing things for those who don't have. See, I think all people have something to contribute. We all have something to give, and we all have something to receive. God has designed us to live interdependently. And as God's people, we are supposed to be living in such a way that we are sharing and receiving God's love. But you can't do that very well if you set up a one-sided ministry. And you certainly can't do that very well if you see yourselves as better than some other group of people. Let's remember, everyone has something to share, and God can certainly use the poor to share with those who have and those who don't have. And those who have a lot can certainly share with those who are poor. It just goes both ways. Now, Jesus had a big heart for people who were neglected and suffering from poverty. And our scripture says he had compassion for them. Now, compassion is such an important word because it keeps us from being detached from those who are suffering in the world. Now, it's, I think, easy for us to turn the poor, the hungry, the homeless, and the marginalized into a statistic. But they're more than numbers. That's why it's important for us to not lose our compassion for those who are hurting. Now, the word compassion is an extremely important word in Scripture. If you trace the history of that word to its Latin roots, it literally means suffering with. And that's what Jesus did, didn't he? He showed compassion toward the people around him by suffering with them. And that's evident in our Scripture passage. Now, Jesus and the disciples had been traveling around the countryside, casting out demons and healing the sick. In fact, they were working so hard that they couldn't find any time to rest. They didn't even have time to eat. And so Jesus ordered them to take a break. And they all loaded up on a boat, and they headed off to a deserted place across the Sea of Galilee. And I can imagine they all were excited about getting some rest and relaxation. But their plans quickly changed when a crowd of desperately needy people spotted them from the shore. And that huge crowd saw where Jesus and the disciples were going, and so they rushed there to meet them there. Now, Jesus had to have been tired and worn out just like the disciples were. And yet, he somehow avoided acting annoyed by this intrusion on his day off. You know, he wasn't irritated that these people had sought him out. He wasn't bothered that they couldn't take care of their own needs. He wasn't even frustrated by how great the needs were. Now, I think if that had been us, and if we had just gotten off work and were starting our weekend, we might have been annoyed. We might have been irritated, but not Jesus. He had compassion for them. He suffered with them. Now, I think we can gain an even deeper understanding of Jesus' response by looking at the Greek word for compassion. Remember, the Gospel of Mark was written originally in Greek. And so the Greek word for compassion is the word splagnesimai, and it means to be moved so strongly that you feel it in your stomach or deep down in your gut. See, Jesus combined an awareness of the troubles that he saw in other people with a deep, deep desire to alleviate those needs. He felt compassion, not just in his heart, but also in his gut. The Gospel of Mark tells us in verse 34 that Jesus had compassion because the people were like a sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. He became their good shepherd and invited the people to sit down in groups on the green grass, as it's put in verse 39. And that echoes back to Psalm 23, which describes the Lord as a shepherd who makes his sheep lie down in green pastures. Now, there are other places where we hear about the good shepherd. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah also spoke of this good shepherd, and they described this shepherd as one who teaches his people, provides food for them, and heals their sick. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom." See, the good shepherd has come to us in Jesus Christ. And that's good news. And we live out that good news by living more like Jesus, by living with compassion, by ministering to and with the poor. Now, we might not always be conscious of the poor where we live, but it exists here in Wake County. It's estimated that 8.5% of our population lives at the federal poverty level, which is defined as an individual making less than $14,580 per year, or for a family of four, making less than $30,000 a year. Fortunately, unemployment is relatively low in our area, but 4.2% still don't have jobs. And if you don't have a job, you don't have income. And the lack of income directly affects housing. There are nearly 1,500 homeless people living in Wake County. And housing affordability is out of reach for a lot of folks. Another indicator of poverty is the absence of health insurance. Over 8% of our population under the age of 65 doesn't have health insurance. And so my point is that the poor and the marginalized can be found near us if we're willing to look for them. And I believe Jesus certainly wants us to pay attention. He wants us to have compassion for them and to act on their behalf. It's how he lived. See, Jesus paid attention to people in need, and then he did something about it. He felt compassion in his gut, and he acted on it. And see, when Jesus faced a hungry crowd, he fed them. And when he saw sick people begging for his help, he healed them. People with lots and lots of different needs flocked to Jesus everywhere he went, from villages to cities to farms. People sought him out. They wanted to be fed and healed and made well. And these people were poor. They were suffering. And Jesus kept working with them throughout his ministry because he had compassion for them. Now, the power of compassion is that it leads us to act on behalf of others. And that's why we donate school supplies to help children and families who can't afford them. We give food and money away to feed the hungry. And we support organizations that provide shelter to those who don't have any. We do things like this because we know it directly affects people. Compassion should also lead us to work at changing the conditions that cause poverty and keep people living in poverty. But that's really hard to do. And some people will say, we just can't change things. Dr. Paul Farmer has certainly encountered this many times in his work. And he tells a story of a time when he was working in a rural town in central Haiti. He had spent the day in a hot, overcrowded medical clinic where he was taking vital signs of patients and giving moral support to a young Haitian doctor who was in charge. He and that doctor became good friends. And that physician eventually confessed how much he really hated the work that he was called to do. This young doctor said that his clinic was like, and I'll quote for you, a mediocre medical factory. No lab, no real chance to examine the patients or do more than the most perfunctory work. And he felt it was impossible to change those conditions. Now, that doctor had been formed by a mindset of scarcity. You see, poverty had worked its way into his life, even though he wasn't personally poor. He just accepted the way things are. He accepted the idea that he couldn't change things. And that happens when you don't know how to address the conditions that create poverty. But compassion for the poor can keep us from giving up. It, in fact, should lead us to seek a deeper understanding of the causes of poverty. So studying different subjects like economics, law, sociology, and anthropology, and other subjects can certainly sharpen our knowledge and give us greater understanding of what causes poverty. But our learning shouldn't be limited to textbooks. I think perhaps the most important thing we can do is to take the time to listen to the poor and marginalized. We need to meet them right where they are and hear their stories and listen to their struggles. This is really about putting human faces onto the issues that we're talking about. It's about building relationships. I think this is how we walk with the poor. But we don't stop there. I think we should then use our privilege for their benefit. We have a responsibility to use whatever privilege that we have for the furthering of God's kingdom. Now, Jesus certainly used his privilege for others. He was God in the flesh, and he suffered with and had compassion on the needy in this world, and we're called to live like him. We should work on behalf of the poor and marginalized. We should have compassion for them, whether they're young or old, male or female, black or white. It shouldn't even matter if they're acting moral or not. And I say that because living with compassion is not about judging people. It's about helping folks who are in need. Living with compassion should lead us to act on behalf of the poor and marginalized, whoever they may be. And it should lead us to change the conditions that keep them in poverty. Jesus paid attention to people in need, and he saw that they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And so he taught them, and he fed them, and he healed them. Jesus felt compassion deep down in his gut, and he acted on it. He helped everyone. He didn't judge them. He didn't discriminate. And he didn't ask people why they needed help in the first place. I think it's important for us to see that, because there are some people who think or who are quick to pass judgment on those who are homeless or poor or sick or whatever. But that's not our role. Instead, we are called to live like Jesus and to have compassion for those who are hurting. This is something we should feel deep down in our guts, to where we are moved to action. So the question is, what should we do? Obviously, we shouldn't ignore the poor and marginalized. We shouldn't pretend that they're not around. We need to see them. We need to walk with them. We need to work on their behalf. We don't have to meet every need, but we should strive to act compassionately and to try to change some of the conditions that cause poverty and suffering in our world. And so I encourage you this week to pay attention to the poor and marginalized. Look for people who are hurting. Look for people who are in need. Have compassion on them. Listen to them. And then use your privilege to work on their behalf. I think that's the way Jesus lived. And that's the way we are called to live.